In a scripture lesson according to the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. Now as Paul went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, we all have those moments that blind us and leave us wondering occasionally what in the world has just happened to me, but seldom do those moments involve literal blinding light. Y'all are going to learn I got a lot of stories that begin as I was a kid. I always had a curiosity of lightning. It was awe-inspiring to watch lightning storms, but simply from the safety of our home through the window and in Myrtle Beach, you could watch a storm coming for miles and see plenty of good cloud-to-ground lightning, and then on those really hot summer nights, you get the cloud-to-cloud lightning that goes all the way across the skies. But I had enough common sense to know that if you could hear the thunder, there's always that elevated risk that of a lightning strike. That's what they taught us in Boy Scouts. So anytime I was out in the field hitting golf balls up and down the driveway, we had a long driveway. It was 130 yards from where the grass was real nice all the way to the end, about 185-ish if you went to the sandy part, but it's besides the point. And it was slightly uphills, trees on the left, the field on the right. Anyways, a storm would come up and I'd head back home as a little kid. The trees are important later on. But there was a time when my sister and I, we were eating dinner around the table, and our table was in front of a double sliding glass door. Mom and Dad, they were getting ready to go to a wedding that night. It was fairly dark outside. It was cloudy, kind of like it was here yesterday. Then I got the weirdest feeling. You ever been sitting there and you saw the hairs on your arms stand up and you could feel a little tingling on the back of your neck? And then suddenly there was a blinding light and the loudest clap of thunder I had ever heard in my life. Our house had just been struck by lightning. Well, technically it was just up the driveway in those trees where there were 5 or 6 loblolly pines. But it also got into the power lines somehow, because the power lines, they were underground, and they ran parallel to the driveway all the way down to the house, and they just happened to be right there where those pine trees were at. So while my sister and I were sitting at the table, and you know those chandelettes from the 80s that had the 5 light bulbs on them? Yeah, we had one of those hanging right above our heads, which every bulb simultaneously blew. And a lot of light bulbs, if the lights were on in the house, when they blew, the actual bulb melted into the socket. I remember it vividly, Dad having to replace a lot of the light sockets in the house. Now, that's the kind of experience that can really mess you up as a kid. That blinding light, that deafening sound that just took your safe space, your home, and made it vulnerable. So I told you that story to tell you this one. Flash forward 15 years and I'm working at Myrtle Waves Water Park as a lifeguard. And you'd be amazed at the number of people that don't know how to swim, but that's irrelevant to this story. Because I'm at the top of one of the water slides, a Ruba Tuba, to be specific, which is based on the same principle as a toilet bowl, and thus became the name I called it. And since it was one of those really hot, miserable summer days down south, you know, the dog days of summer, we call them, storms always popped up between 2:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon. You could set your watch to them. They generally lasted about 30 minutes, and then the sun would come right back out, and it became more miserable than it was before it rained. So it's about this time, and we can tell a storm's growing near us, but it's not the typical kind of huge cloud that you see and that comes rolling in, and you have time, oh, we still have a few more minutes before they're going to shut down the water park. Nope. No, it was not like that. I happened to be looking on the top of the water slide towards Seaboard Street. If you're familiar with Myrtle Beach, that's where the mall and the airport is. When all of a sudden, the sharpest, brightest bolt of lightning, I saw it literally rise from the ground to the sky, about 3/4 of a mile away. And if you're familiar with the Aruba Tuba type rides, everyone brings an inner tube up with them on the stairs. So here it is, lined all the way to the bottom with people with inner tubes. And this lightning strikes over here, the thunder claps, those sketchy childhood memories are starting to resurge in me. Not one person did what I thought everyone would do, which would be to turn around and run away. They waited. They looked up at me like, are we going? You know, after explaining, I didn't actually explain it. I told them that you're on a giant lightning rod with a 6-inch metal pipe jammed full of water running up it. The moment I said that, I had their attention. Told everyone, hold your tubes over the rail, then let go. And everyone dropped their tubes at the same time, and I said, let's get off of this thing. But that really ends the story, but the impact of that moment in my childhood had instilled in me a respectful fear of the power of God's creation and recognizing our own inability to have that kind of power, to have authority over everything that God created. But those two blinded moments, they pale in comparison to our buddy Saul. He was not to be punny, brutally efficient in what he did, which was persecute the followers of Jesus until he had, not to be punny again, a come to Jesus meeting, literally. But what I love most about this moment in time when Saul is blinded and asking who it is that was speaking to him, it's how he phrased the question, Lord, who are you? His mind had been expanded beyond what his rational thought could comprehend to the point that he literally answered his own question with his question. Because he knows he could only be in the presence of our Lord. In his blinded moment, like many blinded moments, they can really change our perspective. And they may not come from a bolt of lightning out of the sky or a blinding light while we're traveling down the road, but they can be much more subtle. I didn't think about this after I say they can be much more subtle. They can be like a good thing, like the birth of a child. Or they can be more horrible and devastating moments in our lives, like a home burning down or losing a job or ending of a relationship. Because the ability for God to change our lives can come in many ways, shapes, and forms, and at any age in our lives. What is better yet is the fact that we, though, can be that change for someone else who might need it in their life at that moment in time. Got two more stories to tell you. And talk about two moments that were very eye-opening and it caused change in my life, one of which happened the other week out there at Laundry Love. You know, we were there doing our thing, this random guy, obviously there doing his laundry. He had just been waiting for his clothes to finish, and, you know, he curiously asked what it is we're doing, because he noticed these people with aprons on running around pumping quarters into these machines endlessly. So I gave him the elevator talk about Laundry Love, who we are, what we're doing, and that these are members of churches and synagogues in Port, and more specifically, that a good number of the volunteers were from this specific church and one synagogue, and then the other two people were from two other churches in town. He asked, well, how can I help? Why someone at the laundromat themselves would ask how they could help was beyond this lowly pastor's comprehension. But I said, next month, on the third Thursday, if you're here, bring a roll of quarters, because that was the only thing I could think of, because after a certain point in the day, I no longer have that deep thought process I traditionally have during office hours. So he walked on to do his laundry and was in the laundromat, and he came back a few minutes later and he pulled out his wallet and gave me a $20 bill. I said, wow, this was that blinding moment. I sent him away and said, come back next month, and apparently that wasn't good enough for him. He wanted to do something right then and there. That shows me there's hope in this community of Port Washington through the actions of this stranger. I didn't know his name, but he's our neighbor here in Port. And that hope wants to help, and that hope wants to know what they are giving towards is a good investment. And he saw that it was. Now that hope These people walking around seeking and desiring to know more, inquisitive enough to ask this person what everyone else is doing in there, these people seem to be the ones thirsting for living water. Now, how can we, as the disciples of Christ, how can we bring them that water? Now, the second story, and this is going to be the last one, is where some dynamics were at play and a family left a church. Y'all know this story because I'm sure it never happened here. It was always the church down the road or something. But this was a good family. Yes, it was a good family. They worked hard. They were raising their kids to be the best little human beings that they could be. But feelings had been hurt and relationships had been damaged. Now, so often, this one family leaving would have been considered just, you know, collateral damage in a congregation, and the leadership would have said, better one family than four, and moved on maintaining what they had instead of being out discipling. Now, I, at this point in my ministry, had already become jaded by the reality facing many of the congregations that's in our conference, that by the time I retire, many of the churches I'll have served at may not exist or will be merged entities down the road and completely unrecognizable from what I remember them as. Oh my goodness, I had become what I had feared most. I had become our colleagues. I had become what I did not want to be. I'd become someone where the passion had waned, the spark had started to be snuffed out. So I figured I better go out and I better try to do something. So I'll ask the mom of the family if she'd like to teach a Sunday school at one of my other churches, and go ahead and get my typical no from anyone that I always ask to do something and move on, knowing at least I tried. But she said yes. Never before had I dared ask someone to do something in a congregation after hearing no's for the umpteenth time and giving up. Oh, here is that blinding moment. You know, you ain't gonna get nothing if you don't ask, are you? She and her family, they're now back at the previous church. Ministry was thriving there. And from what I can see on Facebook, it still is doing pretty good today. So now I'm going to ask, because we can never realize our potential unless we commit ourselves to the Lord, unless we're ready to say, yeah, Lord, here I am, send me. Send me out into the mission field. Send me out into Port Washington. Send me out to those people that's thirsting for love and for the care of God. Because if we don't do it, who else is? Is there even going to be anyone else to do it? Because I'd rather for us to have that name out there in the community, that the Methodist Church, I'd rather us be synonymous with those people who's always out in the community, always doing something, always pestering people about trying to help others, because that's what we're supposed to do. Not here just to maintain a building for our own edification, but that the purpose of why this place was built in the first place can be re-realized, and we can be reinvigorated and reignited by the Spirit of God to change our attitude, to change our hearts, and to change our minds. So then we can go out and we can change the world. And then we can start changing it right here in our own community. Amen? Amen. So now, I want to ask y'all a question. And it's going to be yes or no. Are you ready to be part of that change?
Yes.
All right, excellent. Now, what y'all really came here for. Originally, I was going to give out $5 to everybody here tonight, but we're going to double it to 10. Now, before we meet for the next contemporary worship, I want y'all to take this, go out into this community, cause some change, do something good. Those are your only parameters to work with. And then come back, be ready to share a story. Be ready to share how you helped change someone's life, or how you helped to change our community to be better.